Amen. How many can relate to that? Prison walls started falling. And I'm a free man today because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the red letters. Thank God for the words of Jesus Christ that pointed us to salvation and gave us hope, even in a hopeless situation. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you're happy today, let the Lord know it. Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for those precious, precious red letters. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. We're so thankful that you're here with us. Especially thankful that we have some relatives in the congregation this morning. My Uncle Lee Laminack from over in Cherokee County is with us today. Also, Brother Malcolm, my cousin from down around Jacksonville, Florida, is up here with us today for our Allen reunion. So we're glad to have him. Just the mention of your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Flowers grow, the desert blooms again.
One more time, church.
Jesus, just the mention of your name.
Of your name.
Hallelujah. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Just like changes things, changes situations, opens blinded eyes.
Praise God.
Well, glory. Praise God. What a wonderful atmosphere of praise and worship that is in the sanctuary this morning, and I never, ever want to take that for granted. I'm so thankful that God is mindful. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Isaiah. In the 48th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 48, beginning with verse number 8. reading from God's holy and precious word.
Yes.
Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And how will I not give my glory to another? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your holy and precious word. God, we thank you for your spirit that we feel in this congregation this morning. God, I ask humbly that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, this vessel, this messenger this morning, God, that you would be the messenger through us. Father, that we would receive your word. God, that we would be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, if there's anyone here in this congregation who is not submitted, not committed their life to you, Father, I pray that this would be that day. Father, I pray now that you would just strengthen us, God. God, to bring forth what I believe that you have laid upon our hearts. God, that it would produce growth and edification into our spirit, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, for we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus, and you may be seated.
Amen.
Praise God. I love the book of Isaiah. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, The Furnace of Affliction. There's two words in that text this morning that probably does not describe pleasant situations in our life. First of all, the furnace. Secondly, the word affliction. Affliction has become a very derogatory remark, especially with Christians. We do not enjoy affliction. We do not look forward to affliction. But how many know sometimes we have to endure affliction? We find here that God is speaking to Israel through his prophet Isaiah. How many knows that when God speaks to us sometimes, it's not always exactly what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. May not be real pleasant to our flesh, but it is growth, amen, to our spirit. God is speaking here concerning the backslidden condition of Israel and the deafening of their spiritual ears and the turning aside from the one true Jehovah God to worshiping idols and seeking guidance from other means other than God. I still do not understand today the many Christians that have grown up in serving the Lord and had prayers answered and had victories won, why we still see that it is necessary to seek guidance from other areas other than God and His holy word. I believe if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the Bible says these other things will in fact be added unto us. But we are merely human beings, and being human beings, we are in flesh. And having a fleshly body, the flesh is carnal, and many, many times we tend to be swayed by our flesh other than our spirit. So was the case with Israel. But understand what God is speaking. You know, when I was growing up, I got some stern remarks of correction. But always, I can never ever think of a time in my life when they were not followed with deep, passionate love from my mom and from my dad. The first part of those talks, and especially Dad, when Dad talked to us, I knew it was from the heart, and I knew he meant what he said, and I told him many, many times later in life, I said, Daddy, I'd rather you just went ahead and whipped me and got it over with than set me down and give me one of those long, heartfelt talks. But Daddy knew what he was doing. He knew that those pains from the belt probably would heal very fastly, but or very quickly, but when he began to penetrate the avenues of my heart, he knew that that would stick with me, and it did.
Many, many times we hear from God. And first part, when we're hearing from God, it is not pleasant at all. It's not what we wanted to hear. It's not what we were looking for. But it is exactly what we need to know. And then it's followed up with love and appreciation. And God will be the one who delivers us out of these afflictions and these turbulent times. And here's what he said in verse number 10 especially. I have refined thee. Now, that's very important because he does not say, I will refine thee. Many of us are still looking for an answer we haven't received, when in fact the answer may have already been given. The answer may have already been directly from God. We've just not learned to accept it yet. We've just not learned to apply it to our lives because we're looking for something different. I believe with all of my heart, when we begin to pray and we begin to petition to God, first of all, we need to pray for an open mind that we will receive what God wants us to receive. Amen. That we'll listen with intent and spiritual ears to what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us, not just to tempt or to satisfy our flesh or just maybe meet our physical needs, but give us that. Amen. Give me that. Even though it may be a long and enduring talk, maybe a long time of counsel, and maybe the words may be piercing to my heart, but I will assure you during those times it will provoke growth and spiritual edification into your heart. And in fact, isn't that what we're looking for? To become stronger in God, to become more reliant on God, not to be swayed by every little thing that comes against us, not to have our world turned upside down for every little issue and every little problem that we face, but to be an overcomer. As God says, we can be more than overcomers through God and through His precious Word. The word affliction sometimes, I think, is misunderstood. The actual definition means hardship, trouble, adversity, distress, or trial. It does not necessarily denote sickness, although sickness can be an affliction. I remember hearing my granddaddy pray, and I've not tried to mimic his prayers, but I've tried in essence to pattern my prayer life after him, because I know he was a man of faith. And he would always pray for the sick and the afflicted. And many, many times I thought that was one and the same. Now understand, it might be. Your affliction may be a physical illness. Your affliction may be a health problem. Your affliction may be a sickness that you can't seem to get over. But in most cases, and here, according to the Greek and Hebrew, the affliction here that God was talking about was hardship. It was trouble. It was adversity. It was distress or trial or turbulous times, which the children of Israel were well acquainted with turbulous times. And many times, the children of Israel, during these times, amen, they would seek guidance elsewhere. They would try to do what the nations around them are doing. Can I just throw this in for good measure? We don't need to try to be like the world. Amen. I pray that the world would be more Christ-like. If we will pattern our life after Christ, if we will follow and adhere to the Word of God and place those commandments and those precepts and those statutes into our everyday life, we will come out a lot better off than we will trying to adopt the ways of the world. Can I tell you that many times the ways of the world are not conducive to the ways of God? In fact, many times, more times than not, they're opposite to the will of God. One writer wrote about the flame or the fire of affliction. And they wrote it this way. And I had to read it two or three times. As I said, sometimes experiences are not pleasant in our life, amen, but they're beneficial. One thing this writer wrote was that many, many times the furnace of affliction is almost taking, or in that day and time was like taking a trip across a turbulent sea. You get in the boat or the vessel and you head out knowing that there's storms and turbulence out there, but the desire to get to the other side overrides the fear of the storm and the turbulence. And they liken that to affliction. So many times the part of affliction is not pleasant. Amen. But the desire of the effects that we get through affliction, and we're going to talk about that, because whether we realize it or not, sometimes it is very beneficial for us to experience affliction. Again, I'm not saying that the Lord's going to strike you down with sickness. God wasn't doing this, amen, as an act of punishment or revenge, but He was seeing the benefit of having one-on-one time with you through a turbulent time in your life, through trials or hardships or situations that otherwise you could not get yourself out of, and you in fact had to come be dependent, solely dependent on the power of God. And isn't that what God wants us to do? To be dependent on Him. Man, the things that I cannot do are possible with God. But the writer wrote this, "The flames in our life sanctify us and draw us to God in ways that nothing else can." Can I read that again? "The flames in our life sanctify us and draw us to God in ways that nothing else can. And we emerge refined and victorious." Refined and victorious. I believe a true Christian, if they're honest, and if they would think about the trials of yesterday, the things that God has in fact brought them through. And let me just take a survey, if I might. Is anybody in the house today the recipient of God sustaining you during a very turbulent time in your life? Can I just see your hands? I believe we're almost 100% unanimously giving testimony to a God that is able to see us through any circumstance, any problem, any turbulence, or any afflictions that we may have. And this is what I like. He's already refined us. He's already equipped us. He's already given us that power of the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be to come overcomers. Amen. Through any hardship or trial. Thank God for His power. We do emerge, amen, refined and victorious. But on the other hand, I do understand sometimes the severity of the furnace of affliction. When we think about furnace, we often think about the furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. The Bible says it was a fiery furnace. Amen. I like their attitude. Come on, I like their attitude. They didn't start screaming and hollering and, "God, why has Thou forsaken me?" or, "I don't deserve this." But they said, "Our God is able, even if He don't deliver us." Glory to God. I like that mindset. Oh, and let me tell you, who doesn't like that mindset? The devil, the adversary, he uses that so many times. But when we can stand up and boldly proclaim, "Satan, I don't care what you bring on me, my God is able to deliver me. You're already lost, amen. I'm a winner through Jesus Christ. Get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I am more than an overcomer. I am a winner with Christ in my life. I will not be defeated. I will not be a victim. I will not be downcast. I got too much going for me. I'm too blessed to be stressing over affliction." Hallelujah. But I understand the furnace of affliction often induces panic. We took a survey just a moment ago. Got a large portion of the congregation to respond affirmatively. May I ask you, and if you're not comfortable raising your hand, please don't. But has there ever been a time in your life, even before you was a Christian, or since you received Jesus Christ into your life, that you've ever been in a situation where you felt panic. I'm not talking about just being startled. I get that every morning when I wake up and look in the mirror. I'm talking about fear-stricken panic. Panic causes you not to think right. Panic causes you not to react in a good way. Panic sometimes makes you just want to throw your hands up and quit. Panic sometimes, it will wake us up in the middle of the night of a terrible, terrible nightmare that we've had. That something or somebody is chasing us and we can't move. And we wake up in a cold sweat and in panic before we finally realize it was just a dream. Can I tell you that many times the furnace of affliction induces panic? Now, we might understand that for a new convert. We might understand that for someone who's not been serving the Lord for many, many years and have not been battle-tested. Thank God for the battles. Because I believe, if we're truthfully and honest this morning, every battle that a Christian has come through has made them spiritually stronger. But in some cases, when first experiencing the furnace of affliction, it brings on panic. The panic begins to set in, and it begins to cause us not to react correctly. It's a feeling that we can't go on. It's a feeling of being in a spiritual rut where we're not making any progress. Can I tell you, the adversary jump all over your case when you start feeling like that? He's the very first one to tell you, you're not doing what you need to do. You're not living like you need to live. You're not living what you need to be. It used to upset me until I finally started turning around and telling him, yeah, but I sure ain't what I was yesterday. And I sure ain't what I was last year. And I'm not where I want to be yet. But I'm reaching for it. I'm pressing toward the mark. And you or nobody else is going to impede me for that goal. I've come too far to turn around. I'm not going back to what I was. God has delivered me. I'm looking forward to better things in Christ. Hallelujah. But we get a feeling of panic that we can't go on. I love this analogy. The heat is smothering. Let me tell you, I'm an Allen and I usually don't have too much problem sleeping. But if I'm in a room where I can't breathe good, I mean, if it gets too hot, listen, I'm a cold weather person. We was talking about it this morning. I can always put on a jacket. But in this hot dog days of August, there's only so much you can take off. Amen. And be modest. There's only so much. But have you ever been in a place where the ventilation was poor? You start loosening your collar. You start finding a fan. You start trying to do something because the heat is smothering. Many, many times in the furnace of affliction, we experience these types of effects. Oh, I'm not talking about the temperature. I'm just talking about the severity of the furnace of affliction. It causes our breath to come shorter and quicker. Like we're in a state of panic. Like we're in a state of not knowing what to do, where to go, who to turn to in this furnace. And we think that we're God-forsaken. We think that God is elsewhere, too busy to care about us, too busy to hear our prayer, too busy to lift us out of this furnace of affliction which we've been in for the whole amount of 5 minutes or less. God, I can't take it. Get me out! Deliver me! And the furnace is just beginning. And it begins to hurt. Pain begins to take the place of comfort. And the things that are lost in this
fire, this furnace of affliction. After the fact, we realize that they wasn't necessary. They wasn't needful. It was things that were weighing us down. It were feelings that were impeding our progress. It were situations when we were putting thoughts in other people's minds about us. So all of a sudden, we realize that in the furnace of affliction, those things are melting away. And as they melt away, there becomes a purity that begins to flourish. A purity that begins to flow forth. Just as the melting of precious metals has to take all of that impurities out of it before it's fully refined. And let me tell you, where the furnace of affliction is 10 days or 10 minutes, we'll come out refined. We'll come out victorious. We'll come out strengthened by the power of Almighty God, who knew what He was doing when He opened the door of the furnace of affliction. Amen. Because during this time, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you to reminisce. Because during this time that we're spending in the furnace of affliction, we realize something. We realize that nothing else matters but God. Maybe going into the furnace of affliction, we had forgotten that. Or we had not recently practiced that. Because other things seem to take precedence. Other things begin to be a detour in our life. Things that we have to do or think we have to do suddenly becomes more important than our relationship with God. And can I tell you, God doesn't strip away everything pertaining to your life, but He might strip away those things that have become an interference between you and God. When we get to that point, the first stage is panic. Second stage, we begin to question ourselves. The third stage is, Lord, what have I done? The guilt. Why am I going through this? And you could probably go on four or five more stages of thought process that we go through during this time that we're spending in the furnace of affliction. But finally, when we begin to realize, Daddy's not telling me this because He hates me. Daddy's not telling me this because He wants to punish me. Daddy's talking hard and straight to me because He has such an abounding love for me, and He wants me to come out of this situation a better person. God does not hate you. God is not punishing you. God's love is abounding. He wants you to come out victorious. He wants you to come out better than you went in. He wants to make you stronger. He wants to make you more dependent on Him. Glory to God. What we see is a terrible situation might be the very thing that saves our spiritual life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing else matters but God. I will not be lengthy in this, but I think it bears out and mention it. Every person here who's been living for God a number of years have experienced what I'm talking about. I feel certain of that. Some may have been more severe than others, but I do believe, because God wants us to love Him more than anything, sometimes we're all put into a furnace of affliction. And then we realize that nothing else matters but God. I remember years and years ago sitting in what was called a ward with four little beds.
four little children in those beds, fighting for their very life. One of them was my son, Kevin. Penny was not, in fact, able to transfer yet from Villarica to Eggleston, but this was in the first probably 48, 72 hours that we were there. And it was a bright, sunshiny day. It was in the month of February, but it was one of those glorious bluebird days outside when there were no clouds and everything was just beautiful. But on the inside, it wasn't that same bluebird feeling and bright blue skies. Sat a very worried and panic-stricken dad sitting beside my little boy with the tubes and the things, the IVs and all of that stuff on him, and him basically fighting for his life. And I remember my chair was sitting between the bed and the window. And I looked out the window, and I saw cars driving by. I saw people walking up and down the street. I saw mail being delivered. I saw the regular, ordinary things that would take place on an ordinary bluebird, blue sky day. And I remember thinking, Lord, my world is stopped. But life goes on. And I began to realize that my job didn't matter anymore. Where I lived didn't matter anymore. And what I drove didn't matter anymore. And I could care less what I was wearing was in style or out of style. All I needed was just some food to sustain me, because I realized that the most important thing, and this is what I remember, the most important thing was praying that my son live. So God became the most important thing in my life during a time when I thought my life was over. During a time when I thought we're all alone. And I realized that I was not alone. Amen. Because I had a God that strengthened me. Amen. What I saw, what I thought was an evil time, what I thought was a turbulent time, became a time for me to become more dependent on God. Not doctors, not medicine, not all of these things, but God, I need you. I need you to intervene, please, God. I ask you, Lord, humbly. I'm believing, Lord. Amen. Praise God. And something happened in that little hospital room. Amen. I became more dependent on God that day than I had my prior life before that. Let me tell you something. You may have been living for the Lord 30 years, but there's always a possibility that you can move a little bit closer to Him. You can be a little bit more dependent on Him when you realize that nothing, absolutely nothing else matters in this world but God. Amen. And when you realize that, God will sustain you. God will deliver you. God will refine you. According to Job, He'll give you back more than you ever had. Glory to God. You can't outgive God and His greatness. Hallelujah. During the time that panic sets in, questioning ourselves, guilt, a feeling of helplessness, a feeling of hopelessness becomes a very beneficial process called refinement. Search me, O God. See if there be anything in me. God, and purge it. Purge it out. I don't need it. I don't need it. During this time, the process of defining, of refining, takes place. I was reminded of another scripture that talked about the furnace. Of course, the one that we all know is the furnace that was heated up seven times, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in. Amen. But let me tell you something. They also came out. Amen. We preach so many times they're going in. Yeah, but they come out too. And I venture to say they come out in better shape than they went in. Amen. Because the Bible says even all that fire and smoke, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. Only thing that burned them was the ropes that had them bound. Hello.
God won't hurt you. He'll destroy those things that have you bound. It won't even leave a mark on you. Glory to God. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Somebody needs to thank God for that. Amen. Because you're tired of being bound. You're tired of being upset. You're tired of not getting the victory. Amen. Hey, God, refine me. Whatever it takes, refine me. Purge me. Make me what you would have me to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scripture that I was referring to is in the book of Psalms. And it's the 12th chapter, the 6th verse. Many times I think I know. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this one because it might be unanimous again. But even though God has sustained me, filled me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, I find myself sometimes in my furnace of affliction saying, God, you just don't understand. And the time I say it, He rebukes me. I'd start repenting, but it slips out because of the flesh. Not only does He understand, He knows exactly what He's doing. And when we think, God, you just don't know how I'm hurting. Jesus, who was beaten and bruised for our sins and iniquities, with His stripes we are healed. And through the shedding of His precious blood, we have redeeming power. And we have the audacity to say, Lord, you just don't know how I'm hurting. The psalmist David wrote this. The words of the Lord are pure words. How many want to speak pure words? Have pure thoughts. Have pure intentions. Have pure love. Be completely pure in everything you do. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified not once, not twice, not three, but seven times. God, I've learned my lesson. I don't want to go through six more. But if the benefits are to a point where we lay down all iniquity, all ill thoughts, all prejudices, all preconceived notions, every weight and every sin that does so easily beset me, I will tell you that it might not be a pleasant thing, but it might in fact be a beneficial thing if God turned up the heat a little bit more, amen, and begin to burn away and begin to strip away all the impurities of our lives so that we can be more dedicated and consecrated. Amen, and focused on the will of God. Brother Eddie, you've mentioned refined a lot. I think we all probably pretty well know what refined means. But sometimes I don't think we truly realize the process of being refined. When we pray, Lord, refine me, what are we asking? We're asking for a process where impurities, all impurities, or unwanted elements have been removed. Come on, folks. They're burned away. They're no longer a hindrance. They're no longer a stumbling block. They're no longer a burden. Come on, they're no longer a problem. They're no longer spiritual blindness or spiritual deafness. Amen. All of those elements have been burned away with a refining heat. that, by the way, makes the true material be stronger and come out purer. Put your hands together for Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough. Thank you that you cared enough. Thank you, Lord, that you understood that I needed to spend time in the furnace of affliction. Because it's of His love and His grace and His mercy. And Father, help me never to question your motives nor your process. But help me humbly and boldly go and be what you ask of me to go and be. And see, Lord, within me, within my spirit. God, if it's not needful, take it away. Take it away. God, take off the spiritual blindness. Lord, and let me see your will. And let me see your word. And follow it. In every day. In every capacity. In every facet of my life. Because truly, when you've been through the fire of refinement, you can stand and boldly proclaim, nothing else matters but God. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank God for His loving Spirit that is in this place this morning. But I believe because that was in God's Word, that it is needful and beneficial for us to understand and for us to meditate on what God's process is in our life. Every Christian, every born-again saint, every person filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost needs to understand and realize that our biggest enemy sometimes is our flesh. We must, not we need to, we must get subjection over our flesh. We have to let our spirit be stronger. And you'll be surprised at the benefits that will come. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, if there's one in this congregation this morning that needs prayer, that needs to come down, this is your opportunity. This is your time for rededication. This is your time for refinement. Because the Spirit of God is here. Thank God for this couple that's come forward. Some of you elders, if you would, gather around. We're going to pray with them and pray for them. If you still feel a need to come, please come down this morning and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Healing. Glory to God.
Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke this sickness. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would restore health. I pray, God, that you would heal her body, honor her faith right now. God, help us to accept it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that through your word, we are healed by your stripes. We are made whole, God, by your hands and hands. And we receive that healing right now.
Again, Lord, I've got a problem. You promised if I ask, I would receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time.
Test me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. Test me again, Lord. I've got a problem I can't solve. I don't need to worry you. Here I am facing something new, and I need help.
Well, it's me again, Lord. That's all right.
I need help that only comes from you. It's me again.
All right. Brother Allen's got a praise report. Something God's already done.
And all the prayer warriors and all the brothers and sisters of the church coming up praying for me last Sunday before I have this, I don't know what to call it, on my foot, on my ankle. And it took about 6 or 7 weeks to get into the shape it was in. And it was real bad and real painful. And two doctors didn't know what to call it. And I go to the doctor tomorrow for a biopsy on it, but I just want everyone to know that in 1 week's time, the Lord has healed that. To where I don't think I'm even going to have a biopsy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
You know, just want to continue. As Brother Allen just said that, you know, our testimonies, as we say so many times, you know, just God can just do it. That's a wonderful way to put it.